Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Support WrestleTalk!
Give us a subscribe.
Making their way to the ring at a combined weight of undeniably sexy, hailing from London, the Wrestle Ramble Podcast!
Hello and welcome to the Wrestle Ramble Podcast. I'm Ollie Davis, and although you will be listening to this on a Saturday the 15th of December, we are recording this on the birthday boy's birthday. It's Lou Cohen.
Hello, Swap Nation, and a hello to you, Oliver Davis. Yeah, thank you very much. It is my birthday today. I turned 33, which I think officially puts me in my mid-30s, or maybe next year will be my mid-30s officially, because I'm 34 then.
Just say mid-30s is exactly 35,
then
you're 40.
Yeah, I suppose, yeah. So, yeah, maybe I can still say I'm in my early 30s then. But yeah, I turned 33 today.
Well, what comes with birthdays? You've had a cake already.
I have had a cake, a bloody lovely cake.
There's been a sing song.
You did. You gave me a standing ovation when I came into the office.
And there's a birthday card.
Mate. Thank you so much. This is a lovely, well.
I fear by just giving you an envelope, it seems like a monetary gift. There is no money in there.
I'm just holding this close to my microphone so you can get the
great Foley.
Yep. It's a Spider-Man card, and it says, Happy Birthday, classic, like Steve Ditko designed design. Dear Luke Owens, I hear you like superhero men. Have a nice, and then it says, have an amazing day in the actual card itself. Thanks for being repeatedly welcoming and only sometimes exaggerating my stories on the podcast. Sorry about the NXT list. Lots of love, your least favorite WrestleTalk.com writer, Andy.
The
Wrestle Tyke Andy. That's very nice. And Andy is not my least favorite writer on the site. I don't know who would be my least
favorite. It's James Dixon.
Yeah.
And he got you a present.
Oh, he's not here to give it to me himself.
He said it was fine. It's
ooh,
this.
Ooh, hello.
We haven't wrapped it.
No, you have not, but it is a Lonely Planet guide to Peru, because I'm going to Peru next year. Oh, how lovely. Thank you very much. What a wonderful, thoughtful gift that is.
But not as thoughtful as a similarly unwrapped gift from yours truly.
Oh, wow. The gifts just keep on coming in. Oh, wow. Oh, that is cool. Oh, amazing. So, sorry, I need to tell me what it is, because this is not a video thing. It is a pop vinyl figure from Space Jam of Marvin the Martian. You were talking about this on the podcast so recently.
Yeah, well, I would never have bought it myself, because Anna wouldn't let that happen.
Mm.
But you seem so excited about the idea of a Marvin the Martian vinyl.
That's a wicked pop vinyl as well.
He's cool.
So I thought
I'd get him for you.
Oh, thanks, man. That's so nice. Thank you very much. Oh, I really like that. That's going to go up on my shelf.
At home?
At home, yes.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, that's definitely
I've made the... Like, throw away one of those stupid E.T. things you got, or the signed Stranger Things poster. They're not as good as a vinyl you can buy anywhere.
Oh, I know. Well, I was actually in a store the other day looking for certain things, looking for presents for the WrestleTalk Christmas show, which is next week.
Mm-hmm.
And I saw they had a massive collection of pop vinyls in there. And I saw some pop vinyls that I thought, that's actually quite a bit sad. Like, because it's an industry that they say is dying. Like, it is like they've spent so much money on licenses, but interest in them is really waning.
You said this last year.
No, it was earlier this year, I think I said it. But so apparently it is on the way down. But once I saw Friends pop vinyls, and I like Friends and everything, but I don't think I need pop vinyl figures for it. But I also saw one, and this genuinely did make me sad. I saw a pop vinyl figure of Kurt Cobain.
That's what he would have wanted.
But that's what I thought. That's just what, if he was still with us today, he'd have definitely signed off on having a pop vinyl figure made of him.
When I was getting that one, there were some Angry Beavers ones.
No way.
Yeah, I thought, God, I forgot that existed.
Yeah.
It was a Nickelodeon show, folks, if you're too young or too old to remember.
And only reason I remembered that is because they mentioned it on Talking Simpsons this week that Matthew was on, because it was the air date. It's the same week that they did that episode.
Do you want to air your grievances outside of a special private conversation
we had? It's not grievances. I'd like to be on the show, and I don't think they'll ever invite me on the show.
Well, I think the way to make that happen is to get a groundswell of support from the SWAF Nation.
Yeah, but then it feels like it's a pity
and then,
thing.
Yeah, yeah, but like, do you not want that?
I'd almost prefer it. Like, they clearly asked Matthew on because they're fans.
Mm.
And so it'd almost feel nicer if they were like, oh, you're really cool, could you come on the show, rather than be like, can I be on your show, please?
So, quick recap. Talking Simpsons is an American podcast that Luke adores.
I do it. It's a very
good
show.
They asked for guests. The only criteria was that you have to be semi-famous. Luke has messaged them three times?
Twice
on direct messages on Twitter.
Yeah, and they've never responded.
And they haven't responded.
Although I do think Bob's on holiday at the moment, so that might be why he's not responding.
And one of them at least is a very big wrestling fan.
Bob's not a wrestling fan at all, but Henry's a massive wrestling fan.
And this week, after you told me that they haven't got back to you for 6 months now...
Yeah, 6 months plus. Yeah.
Matthew appeared on there, a Botchamania fame, and I got a text... I got a text from Luke that evening that just read, in capitals, Matthew doesn't even listen to Talking Simpsons.
He's very good on the show, but it's quite clear I don't think he's ever listened to an episode of it because, yeah, he was sort of unaware of certain things that they did on the show.
You mean the podcast, not The Simpsons?
Not The Simpsons. Matthew
all over.
He's Simpsons. All over The Simpsons. Absolutely he is. He's a bigger Simpsons fan than I.
He is a bigger fan of every single bit of pop culture than everyone else.
Oh, it's incredible. Yeah.
His references are so on point.
And he's one of the nicest guys I've ever met as well. Like, really chatty. Just such a nice guy.
I think he's got that Pete thing about him, though, where it feels like he's a really nice guy, but he can get away with saying some very nasty, close-to-the-bone things because he smiles and he slaps you on the back afterwards.
Yeah.
You're like, Matthew's not too bad.
Yeah. Did I tell you about the first time I met Matthew in person?
No.
It was the weirdest introduction, really, because he'd literally messaged me, like... 10 minutes, maybe 5 minutes before I'd met him, because it was at MediaCon. And I went up to my hotel room to go and grab my stuff and go back downstairs so we could get in the car together, because we were driving with him.
Oh, it was
and me.
Yeah, me, you, Matthew and Memes.
Yeah, driving.
God,
him.
That is a... what a... I'm sure somebody out there, that's their wet dream. a road trip with those four people.
Not in that car, though. That car was never going to get... That car could not get us around Manchester, let alone a road trip.
Because Laurie was in there
Laurie
as
was
well.
In the car as well, yeah.
So that was too many people then that car was meant to hold.
Yeah.
So when we went over speed bumps, the bottom of the car scraped against the tarmac.
Yeah. It was terrifying. But I went up to my room and I grabbed my phone because I had it on charge. And Matthew had messaged me saying, like, are you coming downstairs? So I was like, yeah, I'll be down in 2 seconds. So I went downstairs and then I saw him there and I shook his hand. I was like, hey, man, nice to meet you at last. And he went, oh, yeah, who are you? And I thought he was joking because he'd literally just DM'd me asking if I was coming downstairs. And I was like, Luke from Rustle. And he was like, oh, yeah, sorry. I mean, I just don't really watch the show that much.
He writes for us.
I know.
There's a weekly column.
Bless his heart. Such a nice guy. Right, I'm going to do a quick Wrestle Talk Get Better, and then we're going to do some jokes before we get out of the main portion, or the intro portion of the show, because our outro is going to be dedicated to prepping Ollie Davis for his fun evening that he's got in store tonight, which we'll talk about in the outro. So this is a Wrestle Talk Get Better. I'll keep anonymous for reasons that will become clear. Hi, Luke, Ollie, Laurie, and especially Andy. So I play a lot of sport, and my eating and drinking habits have always been a bit suspect. I probably eat too many sweet treats and sugary drinks like Pepsi. It's weird because all my colleagues are really healthy. One is a vegetarian, and the other one mainly survives off a liquid diet, and he's not at the personal trainer. I get a lot of stick for my dietary habits, so I'm really going to try and improve what I eat. For example, today I've had lots of fruit instead of a Pepsi Max or Ribena. I've got watermelon, apple, and raspberry juice. I just hope that my colleagues notice how hard I'm trying, and they ignore the giant pile of cookies that are on my desk.
Right.
Brackets, blame my hopeful girlfriend. Close brackets from Andy Datson.
I twigged that early on.
Yeah.
I was even gonna make a joke about this being very similar to, and he's just, yeah, like the what he's always, his desk is cluttered.
It's the filthiest desk.
With like clementine rinds. That's been there for about 2 weeks now.
Yeah,
he doesn't say something to him.
A bin is there.
Like, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I really
it's
should.
It's overflowing.
I should put a complaint into HR, but that is you. Mm-hmm. So I'm consider this my formal complaint against
him. Very funny, Datsun. I feel like the only way the WrestleTyke can be truthful with us is by emailing in to this show, despite him sitting 3 feet away from us.
Yeah, absolutely. Also, thank you very much for your book. But this, we've got some jokes now from my favourite WrestleTalk writer, Pete. Hello, gentlemen and Ollie. Here's some terrible, terrible jokes for the podcast, some of which I made up myself. Joke one.
Oh, this will be...
Yeah.
This could be awkward.
Colleague one. That new kid is so energetic, he's bouncing off the walls. Colleague two. What's his name? Colleague one. Rick O'Shea.
I mean, that was a... That's kind of a Reddit gag for what Ricochet would be called once he joined WWE.
Mm.
So, sure.
Yeah. Joke two. If Scott Steiner became a religious leader, what would he be? Big Papa Pope.
It's better.
That's better. Yeah. And then joke three just says Ollie Davis. I think he's just making fun of you. You're welcome, lads. I love you really, Ollie. Lots of love and a Merry Christmas. Thank you very much, Pete. I actually was meaning to message Pete today because... I'd popped my head into Greg's before, quite recently actually, it was in the last week, because I just thought, a bit peckish, I might see if I can just grab myself something here. So, Pete, if you could just put a word in to the people, that, I mean, I know you've got connections, like, so you can just put a word
to
in
Greg.
People. Yeah, to
the guy
Greg,
that
to,
owns
yeah,
it.
Yeah, to Mr. Greg.
Matthew Greg.
Just, it's Matthew Greg.
Matthew Greg's.
Matthew Greg's. He is from the same place as well. Can you just put a word in? Can you have more than one vegetarian sandwich? I mean, come on. It's a cheese salad sandwich as well. Like,
ooh,
just
I love
be
a cheese salad.
I think it's grand as well, but variety is the spice of life. You've got like 30 sandwich options, and only one of them is vegetarian. Just try. Just try a bit. It's not hard. Like, there's so many other options you could do then. You're not trying. You're not trying. You've got too many chicken options and various other types.
That's on you, Pete.
That is on you, Pete.
Oh, by the way, American listeners, Greg's is a English walk-in pastry shop.
Yeah, it's like a cheap version of Subway. The sandwiches are already pre-made for you. And I did this joke on the NXT one, but I wanted to save it because I thought you might enjoy it. Did you hear about the kidnapping? Hey, woke up. Oh, I thought I would actually get a laugh out of you. I'm actually a little bit gutted about that. So that is all we've got time for the intro portion of this show. We've got a special treat for you in the outro. So here is the show itself. We're going to be talking about possible WrestleMania 35 rumors and card speculation. And then your crab gimmicks, your mailbag questions. And in the outro, Ollie Davis is going to read your Poetry Corner submissions. Here's the show.
This mainly comes from a report, a very dodgy report.
Yes.
Because it's Barn Burner's No Holds Barred podcast.
Yes.
Who, I think everyone's kind of stopped reporting their stuff as news.
Is that Brad?
Not this guy.
Is that Brad Shepherd?
No. Brad Shepherd.
I thought he was with Barn Burner.
Maybe occasionally appears on it, on this podcast show. But it's like this guy, Joe Page. I don't really know their backgrounds. Yeah, Page and another guy. And they say, yeah, talking to ad sources. And I think they definitely did do one correct report a few months ago. So that's why it's not easy to discount them.
same with Brad Shepherd, I suppose.
Yeah.
Because he got that XFL stuff.
Yeah, the XFL and the Hall of Fame.
Yes, yeah, which he's been really sort of like hanging his coat on, despite the fact that he's had nothing since.
That was this time last year.
I know.
Happy anniversary, Brad Shepherd, and your scoop.
Yeah.
So they were talking and they said, well, you know, I've been speaking to my sources. And the other guy's like, well, I've been speaking to my sources. And they're trying to outsource each other. And they came up, they said Triple H versus Batista.
Yes.
Obviously, that's one of them. The idea is Triple H is going to recover in time.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay, because I haven't actually seen this report, nor your news episode about it. To peel back the curtain a little bit here, we tend not to watch each other's videos. We just watch the ones that we do.
We don't want to be influenced by each other's styles too much.
No, absolutely not. I made that error when I first joined here. I just always assumed that match was going to be off the cards now because of Trips's pectoral muscle.
Yeah, so, of course, he tore that at Crown Jewel early November. It's like a 5-6 month recovery period. Mm-hmm. For a normal human being.
Yeah, but not like a Triple H or a John Cena.
Triple H does not miss his compulsory 30-minute match at WrestleMania.
At least 30-minute minimum.
Oh, and that's not including entrances.
No, that's not.
That's an hour. Yeah. I really like those matches. It's like Triple H gets a 20-minute entrance.
Yep.
Seth Rollins gets like 3 minutes.
Yep.
And a cool white suit.
But it's always got it. Despite what the audience are telling you, you have to go that time.
Well, I really hope this is... We're going to talk about all the other ones. But I really hope this one happens, because I fear if it doesn't, Batista won't come back.
Mm. Well, he's always said that if he was going to come back to WWE for another match, it would be against Triple H. I think pretty much that's the only match he's really interested in doing. Which kind of baffles me a little bit. I don't know, man. I was thinking about this. I've been going back and re-listening to our 2018 prediction show that we did sort of around this time last year, and people emailing in. And it's really funny looking back on that now, because there are people going like, The Undertaker's going to have one more match. And me and you were sitting there going like, it's not happening. He's definitely retired. Like, they did that big old ceremony of him retiring. There's no way he's going to be having another match.
Yep.
And then he had three of the buggers this year or whatever it was. Maybe it was two. But again, like, if Undertaker's coming back, then I just don't get the point of just doing nostalgia matches.
But, so you're relating that to Batista coming back. So for me, I think Batista is obviously a guy who is very creatively focused. And, you know, the fact that he left WWE, a very high-paid position, to go into acting and a bit of MMA and work from the ground up. Mm-hmm. And he's done that. And he's, like, just an absolutely brilliant actor now as Drax in Blade Runner, that's Drax again. He's just really good at being Drax Guardians of the Galaxy.
Well, he's done it in three films now.
Yeah.
And he's done brilliant. One of those is the second biggest movie ever.
Yep, he was in James Bond as well, of course. And I think... He's a guy who's creatively driven and story driven. And going by his last return in 2014, when he came back in the Royal Rumble as a babyface and then turned heel, he would show up in NXT and wrestle a match against Bo Dallas. Or not, but did an angle with Bo Dallas. He's a guy, I think, who probably sits at home and does fantasy booking like us.
Fantasy booking himself.
Yeah. And I think... He thinks poetically for his character of Batista that was really brought in, if you look beyond all the Deacon stuff.
Deacon Batista stuff, yeah.
Like this animal version of Batista was brought in by Triple H. Mm-hmm. And he wants that story arc to wrap up with Triple H, and that's his swan song. I totally understand why he wants that to be his final one.
Yeah, but we've already had that match. We had it at WrestleMania like 10 or so years ago.
But not for a last time ever.
Maybe it's just me. Like, when we were like looking at this card as well, because we've written down like some of the matches already that have been reported or some of the matches that could be lined up. And then I started like running through the list of names that aren't involved in those matches. And he's like, well, you got to think they're having a WrestleMania match. I mean, you got to think they're having a match. You got to think they're having a match. Then after a while, you're like, why are we spending, like, why is these two part times? I know that it's WrestleMania and this is just what you do now. This is just the done thing. But like, Batista versus Triple H at WrestleMania just seems like a card filler. That doesn't need to be there.
I disagree. I think this is a rare example of where I wouldn't mind two old-timers going at it. Because I think it suits their characters.
With that said, I would much rather Triple H and Batista than Batista versus Randy Orton.
Oh, yeah, totally.
Yeah.
Which is why I hope that if Triple H can't make it in time, which, come on, this is Triple H. He's gonna.
He'll be back by TLC.
He'll be there, and he'll look better than suspiciously better than he did before. And
just don't ask him to pee in things.
Yeah, and he, Batista is 50, I think next year. I think he turns 50. Mm-hmm. So there's not much time for him for this, as to like take bumps in a ring.
Yeah.
So this is. I think this might be the last chance for Batista.
You reckon this will be if we don't get the big taste. At WrestleMania 35, then we're not going to get him at all.
So I hope that happens.
Yeah.
That we've also got, this is one that I would rather not happen.
Yep.
The Miz versus Shane McMahon.
Yep.
For the best in the world trophy.
Shane's got to have his marquee WrestleMania match because the boy sells tickets. Don't ask me how, but the boy sells tickets.
That one time.
That one.
he sold tickets.
I know, but like in the wrestling world, if you've done it once, then it's like a guarantee after that. Like you can hang your hat on it. And
be wasn't
like,
the Undertaker.
Nope. Or the Hell in
a Cell.
Wasn't
the Hell in a Cell.
Nope. It was Shane O'Mac that was the one who sold them tickets.
To be fair to him, it probably was because
probably
that was a huge return.
Yeah,
it was a big deal.
Remember when he did return and everyone was like, oh my God, Shane is back. This is the best thing ever. Here we are like 2 years later going like, good Lord, I'm sick of seeing Shane.
Never leave us again, Shane.
This is a match that I can't be asked with, to be honest. I'm not asked about this at all.
So I think if it was Shane McMahon versus someone else, especially if Miz is going to be a babyface and Shane's going to be a heel, I'm not interested in that dynamic at all.
100% not.
But Miz is great. If anyone can sell me on this, it's the Miz. And they've got a few 4 months of storytelling to hopefully tweak this into something engaging.
But then does like Miz win and then he's the best in the world?
Well, that's the other joke, isn't it? It's like neither of these guys are the best in the world.
This trophy is a joke.
It's like a gimmick fun match. Yeah.
But it's cool. Okay. It's wrestling. It doesn't matter.
It's all ironic. And I don't want to watch an ironic wrestling match between Miz and Shane McMahon.
Shane throwing his potatoes and doing his crap MMA.
And Miz doing his weak-looking offense. It's the polar opposites of each other.
It is the safest and hardest style of WWE.
We've got Rey Mysterio is reportedly penciled. All of this, again, comes from the same people.
It's all rumor and conjecture. But the Triple H Batista one, that was set up at SmackDown 1000. Yeah. That was kind of like figured to happen.
Rey Mysterio is reportedly penciled in for a United States title match. Okay, I'm fine with that.
Mm-hmm.
But who will his opponent be? Apparently that's not decided. It's between the champion being Shinsuke Nakamura, so Nakamura holds on to it. Samoa Joe, okay. Or Andrade Cien Almas.
Well, it'd be nice for the United States Championship to be featured on something.
Yeah.
But, you know, it'd be nice for Almas to have something to do as well. Crikey, like, it's incredible he's done nothing since coming up to the main roster.
Is it?
Maybe you're right. He's done more than Sanity, I suppose.
Yes.
Yeah.
He had that star-making performance against AJ Styles.
He did. And Daniel Bryan. Mm. And Rey Mysterio. And Jeff Hardy, I think. Of those names, Almas is the one that jumps out to me the most, but just because I want to see Almas featured more on this show.
Yeah, I agree. Also, I just think that sort of that's a potential passing of the torch moment. That's genuinely
if a
WWE
wins.
Legend. Oh yeah, good point, especially if he has the title.
Yeah.
But like that could be, both guys can get over in defeat. Rey's been spectacular the last year.
He's had a great season.
Yeah, that could be. That's a good use of an old-timer.
But the sad part of this report, this bit genuinely makes me a bit sad, is that, so those three names, Nakamura, Joe, or Almas, the other two of those names that's not the champion will be in the Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royal. So can you imagine having Samoa Joe and Shinsuke Nakamura and Almas on your card and thinking like, well, only one of them can actually have a match. The other two will have to go into that Battle Royal that goes in the pre-show, which no one cares about.
When the podcast said that, and they went, well, the other two guys will go in the Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royal, so it's going to be a stacked Battle Royal this year. And then they move on. I was like, no, whoa. Talk about how bad
that's
is.
Terrible. It's garbage.
So back to the big time.
Yep.
Apparently, WWE are talking with The Rock.
More part-timers.
Yeah. About a potential Hall of Fame induction. Like, this is one of the speculated reasons why NXT TakeOver's been moved from Saturday to Friday night on WrestleMania weekend.
Which has caused havoc with all the indie promotions that were running on Friday night, because they didn't want to go head-to-head with NXT, so they've all been moved to the afternoon.
Yeah. And the idea originally, and this was what WrestleVotes reported, that Rock was in talks with WWE to win the Royal Rumble match and face Roman Reigns for the Universal title at WrestleMania. And that could be yet another passing of the torch. But all of these talks happened before Roman's diagnosis with leukemia was revealed. So now they're still, like, apparently, according to Barnburner, those discussions are still there, but maybe it's Rock versus Brock in a 2002 SummerSlam rematch.
Yeah, Meltzer's been on this as well, because he said that it's the match that Vince has always wanted to do is Rock v. Brock since Brock came back. So it would sort of make sense that if Rock is going to come in for one more match, that would be the match that they do, because it's the one that Vince wants to do. And yeah, and the reason that they want to move the Hall of Fame to the Saturday is because Rock probably wouldn't be able to commit to a whole weekend, a whole 3-day schedule. So they just do the 2 days instead. He comes in the Saturday, then works the Sunday, and then off he pops again.
Otherwise, where's he going to eat pancakes?
Yeah.
So Dave Meltzer actually has denied, like he said, he's asked around, and his sources say,
it's
no, this is complete lunacy. Mm. And WrestleVotes, who are very reliable.
They're very good.
They're sticking to their guns. They're saying, no, this is what we've heard.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I mean, that's... But another question is, do we want to see it? Not for me, not in this match. I want to see Brock versus Seth. So that's the other thing. If it's not Rock versus Brock, it'll be Brock versus Seth.
And Seth's been doing some teasing of that.
Yeah. And I think it really needs to... We really need to move on from this Roman Brock hangover that's been like 2 years by
this
point.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, and then Seth could hopefully be the new top guy. Yeah, I know, but I wouldn't like, I don't see Rock and Brock. It's just postponing the problem.
And is in this scenario, if it is Rock v. Brock or Brock v. Seth, is Brock champion?
Mm.
Because that's the other name we've not really seen on this list yet, is Braun Strowman.
Yeah,
who
yeah.
Who is... figuring to beat Baron on Sunday's pay-per-view, although the report is that Braun will be there, but he's not going to actually wrestle. But as well, WrestleVotes are reporting is that he's, and PW Insider said he's definitely going to be there, but he is not cleared to wrestle and he won't be having the match. And then PW Insider reported, interestingly, Kurt Angle is scheduled to be at Monday's Raw.
Ooh.
So one might think that it will be Angle that subs in for him.
That makes total sense.
Either way, Braun gets his title shot at the Royal Rumble. So does Braun win the belt there? Who knows?
Well, like all the storylines since the whole Brock Rock thing would just be a bit dull and frustrating. Like, I can't argue the business sense of that, though.
Nope, absolutely. You cannot argue the business sense of it.
He's arguably the biggest movie star in the world.
He's the biggest paid.
It'll be huge. And way more than the last time he was facing John Cena.
Oh, absolutely, yeah. Like, it is like one of the biggest actors in Hollywood and like one of the biggest guys in the UFC, formerly of the UFC, colliding together at the WrestleMania stage. That's a massive marquee match. That's a headlining match.
Yeah, I think even if I was in Vince's shoes, and he's obviously got the financial resources to do it, and Rock is another one who's like, he hasn't got many more years to do an in-ring match, and he'll probably be president in 2 years.
Yeah.
So it's really like now or never, I think, for Rock. And yeah, if I had the money, I'd go, I don't care if this makes no sense and it's going to piss off all our normal fans.
Yeah.
I'm booking it.
Or all the boys in the back who've been working all year long, but they cannot get a WrestleMania main event.
Don't care.
Don't care.
It's Rock versus Brock.
And if the reports are true and we're getting two WrestleManias or more WrestleManias next year, then...
What reports?
Who would it come from? There was going to be more WrestleManias.
It was a bit of speculation from April.
It's in our video that we're doing.
Is it?
Yeah.
Which video?
The rumors we need to know.
Okay. Then we've also got, hey, set your seats to stun.
Your seats to stun?
Whatever that is, AJ Styles taking on Randy Orton.
Oh, my God. That means you've had AJ Styles in this company, and your thoughts are, I mean, let's have him lose to Jericho in an 8-minute match, then Shane McMahon... Then we'll have him in a match with Shinsuke Nakamura that's purposely designed not to be match of the night, and then Randy Orton.
I will say this, though. When AJ Styles and Randy had the occasional clash after WrestleMania in 2018, I thought they were very good matches, and they were building matches based around AJ doing the phenomenal forearm and Randy going for the RKO. So, like... It'll be a really solid match. And I think this is the kind of match that Randy would care about. Because he's got the tools. He's not always the most motivated.
Yep.
But yeah, it's not inspiring this in the slightest.
It's not a match I'm particularly interested to see. But it might just be, and I think this has come across quite clearly in my SmackDown reviews and stuff, just not asked about Randy Orton. I think I could really do with him just going away for a little bit.
Well, how about this then? Daniel Bryan... versus Shawn Michaels.
It's when you see lineups like this, you're like, oh, this report's a load of crap.
That was the one I was like, well, that's silly.
That's
but
very
then
silly.
He wrestled a match. He was the best guy in there.
Well, yes, but yeah, really, he had to be, I suppose. By default, he was going to be the best man in the match. But I don't see it happening. Mm. I just don't see Shawn getting back into the ring again at this point.
I agree.
I don't think he had fun at Crown Jewel.
No, no, no.
And it was quite sad.
And he said that.
Yeah.
He said that. But is he... I could see a scenario where he thinks, God, that's what everyone's going to remember me as now.
Yeah, no.
I've already made the return. I think I could put on a hell of a match with Daniel Bryan at WrestleMania.
Yeah.
The story's there, of course. Michaels briefly trained Bryan when way back in the year 2000.
Yeah, really? I mean, that's the story that WWE can certainly tell. The reality of it is that Daniel Bryan went to Shawn Michaels Wrestling School and Michaels was never there. And he was just trained by other people.
But there are a few photos
yeah.
where Michaels did squats with them.
Absolutely.
And they can run those in video packages.
Yes.
There's a history in WWE in ring segments as well when Bryan put the yes lock on yeah. Michaels in that segment.
So I think, to be honest, it's a match that I would really like to see. And it would be a much nicer swan song for Michaels than that Crown Jewel embarrassment. So I'd be very much down for it.
Mm.
But the other question to that is then, is that for the title? Is Bryan going to be champion at that point?
Hmm. Well, you could always put it on that hot AJ Randy feud. And finally, of the rumoured, and this is also from Barnburner.
Yeah, this also feels like put some names up onto a dartboard and just fling them over there. Like,
yeah.
Oh, yeah, it's that now.
So Becky Lynch and Ronda Rousey, that's where we think we're all building towards, which is just like yeah. an amazing sequence of events following that meant to happen at Survivor Series. Becky Lynch got concussed, couldn't wrestle, and initially you're like, oh, I'm bummed. That was the biggest match of Becky Lynch's career.
It's the only match I was interested in.
But now it's like, oh, okay, it will happen probably in the main event of WrestleMania as a huge big-time draw. Well done, women.
Yeah, and, nice.
But mostly well done the man,
yeah.
Becky Lynch.
Yeah.
And so you're like, okay, I personally think that's what should main event WrestleMania, even if you've got Rock and Brock.
Well, I agree, because Jim Ross on his podcast said that there are no male stars on the Raw or SmackDown roster that have enough momentum at the moment to main event WrestleMania.
No.
And actually, I completely agree with him.
But what Barnburner added, because that's everyone sort of reported that one, is they say that Daniel Cormier, who will have retired by then. He said he's going to retire when he's 40 from UFC. He's the light heavyweight and heavyweight champion, which is quite something.
Mm-hmm.
And he's going to retire when he turns 40 on March 20th, a few weeks before WrestleMania.
If in wrestling someone won the Cruiserweight and World Heavyweight Championship, people go like, that's stupid. That really buries the Cruiserweight division.
Mm.
Yet in UFC, where it's a legitimate sport, it's like, yeah, it's just happened.
Yeah, well done. I guess if it's not like... The weight difference isn't too big. It could just be a pie. Eat a pie on one day and you're the light heavyweight champion.
Yeah.
So Daniel Cormier in Ronda's corner for this. Cormier has apparently had a tryout with WWE. Apparently Fox want him to become a commentator for SmackDown when it moves there. So that's a very possible thing that could happen.
Because Fox is, the report is that Fox wants SmackDown to be more sports, less sports entertainment when it moves there in like quarter three or quarter four next year?
It's October. Q3. But the craziest thing is that Barnburner said, well, with Cormier in Ronda's corner, Conor McGregor will be in Becky Lynch's corner.
And the reports are that WWE have wanted to do something with Conor for years. I think it was Triple H. I think the report was that Triple H wanted them to do like a Floyd Mayweather, Conor McGregor segment at SummerSlam last year. Like that was the thing he was really pushed for, because that was just before their big fight. Or it might be like something around that time. That never came to fruition.
But it's a great idea.
It's a great idea. And I know that they really want Conor in, because Conor is a name that, again, you put up onto a poster. And that's what WrestleMania is. WrestleMania is not what it used to be, was the showcase of the Immortals. It's where feuds ended. It was where, like, it was the end of the wrestling year and the start of a new one, where you crown your new top guy or you start your next set of storylines. But now it's become, hey, it's a big event where you get celebrities, and which WrestleMania wasn't the first time anyway, but it's like it's celebrities, it's part-timers, it's names that you recognize from 20 years ago, it's people from outside the sports entertainment world all coming together. So people who are there 365 days for the other part of it don't really matter. What matters is the big name people. And, you know, Conor McGregor is a big name.
Plus, I mean, he is essentially pro wrestling in its finest.
Yeah.
Like, He jumped the cage and attacked a referee at a Bellator show. That's not even his promotion.
Yeah.
He threw a dolly a coach with his rival in.
And not like a dolly as in like a girl's toy.
Yeah.
I shouldn't say a girl's toy, but a toy. You mean like an actual dolly.
Yeah. I think Conor McGregor would be an inspired choice there. His whole gimmick's his whole gimmick is sort of based on Ric Flair.
Yeah, that's
as is Becky Lynch's at the moment. Mm-hmm. And Becky and Conor had a sort of Twitter exchange where he was like, if you have a proper fight, I'll come and back you up. And she said, well, you know, April, New York, I hear New York's nice in the spring, which is a WrestleMania thing. So, yeah, I mean, that would be amazing.
But then let's list off some of these names that are not a part of what we've just reported. That's Charlotte Flair, Asuka, Bobby Lashley, Drew McIntyre, Finn Balor, Elias, Braun Strowman, Bray Wyatt, who's looking to return. He might even return on Sunday. I put Jinder down, but that's a joke. Kurt Angle, Kevin Owens is reportedly going to be back by WrestleMania. Rusev, you've got Bayley, Sasha Banks, Sanity, The Bar, The Usos, New Day. There's a lot of other talent there that are not scheduled for matches.
That's why we have Battle Royals.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
If you're wondering to yourself, what the heck is a crap gimmick? Well, that's a segment we do here each and every Saturday on the Wrestle Ramble, where you, the Swap Nation, send to us your crap gimmick submissions, and we, the crap gimmick bookers, decide if we want to sign them or not. What's a crap gimmick, you ask? Well, we like to think of it as you are a wrestler or a blank or something much more abstract. So, big backlog of things to get through, but if you do want to submit yours, it's luke@wrestletalk.com. One more time, luke@wrestletalk.com. Still got about 200 to get through. We're nearing the end of July. In fact,
oh wow,
we're at the end of July, July 30th.
Can we not just have a 2018 cutoff point when the clock strokes midnight?
Yeah, but then I'm just going to get all of the submissions sent again. We're going to have the same backlog. They'll just be in a different order,
I guess.
But
you can click the button that says red. It'll be nice.
Yeah. This comes... Actually, before I jump into this, we're going to be doing our Christmas show next week. So if you could send in Christmas-related crap gimmicks, we'll read them out. Well, we're going to read a few of them out because I might get loads. But we'll read a few of them out on the Christmas show and decide whether we want to sign any of those. Got to be Christmas-based, though. Just don't resend one you've already sent before. This comes from James Shack on July 30th. Hello, Luke and Ollie. My crap gimmick is consisting of former firefighter trainees Darren and Larry... The Hot Boys. Darren and Larry are the best of friends whose childhood dream was to become firefighters but unfortunately failed out of the Firefighter Academy.
Ah.
Oh, no, sad story.
No. Me and Laurie did this one.
Did you?
Yeah. When you were away, I think. because his dad used to be a firefighter.
He did, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, and I chose this one on purpose to make him feel uncomfortable.
So we've done that one then.
Yeah, I think we might have even signed them.
Have you done the computer boys?
Try it. See if I remember it.
Okay, well, this comes from... You need to tell me these things.
Sorry.
These comes from gym leader David from August 3rd.
Wow, we're in August.
We're in August now. The computer boys with a Z, so you know they're cool. Dom and Nate, cheap puns to add for the crapness, are two stereotypical 80s nerds coming down to the ring in button-down shirts with pocket protectors, braces, pants that are slightly too short, with white socks and boots and thick frame glasses. These two seem to be meek, but when they get in the ring and take off their glasses, they become hard-hitting ECW-style hardcore wrestlers with little to no regard for the rules. They prefer to wrestle in hardcore matches so they can introduce their weapons of choice. Computer parts! Dom's prefers his finishing move is the double click, a top rope elbow drop to a grounded opponent with a mouse wrapped around his elbow. Nate's finisher is a pedigree where a computer keyboard is placed underneath his opponent so that it hits him in the face on the landing, which he calls the keyboard crusher. Their tag team finisher is the same as AOP's the super collider, but it's called Control-Alt-Delete. That comes from gym leader David.
I like the idea of the computer pedigree happening, and then the opponent, you can have a gimmick where they roll over afterwards and they've got the keys from the keyboard in their mouth.
I like it, replacing like their actual teeth.
Yeah, like the sort of piano spot in Looney Tunes cartoons.
Tom and Jerry.
And I once went to a progress show before everyone else liked it because I'm cool. And the London Riots used a computer keyboard in the match. And the D key came off. I caught it. That was on my desk for like 3 years. Had a bit of blood on it.
Where is it now?
I don't know. I lost it.
I quite like the computer boys. I think it's a fun little tag team.
Yeah.
But will it be better than Matthew Groves from August 4th? Hello, Luke and Ollie. My crap gimmick is Max the Mama's Boy Boyle. Max is a young man who is actually a good wrestler, but his mother always seems to be getting in the way. She will allow him down to the ring for every match if he wants her there or... She will always follow him down to the ring if he wants her there or not. At the start of every match, his mother, Maxine Boyle, will start the timer on the screen because this is when Max has to come back home for his curfew. Max will often lose his matches because of this timer. He'll either run out of time or he'll rush himself, which will lead to a stupid mistake. After this, his mother will not allow him to be in the main event as that's past his bedtime. His mother will also distract him by offering crap advice because she doesn't know that much about wrestling. One match in the future, his mother will be distracted by a fan, which will allow Max to win. This will hopefully set the crowd up to start distracting Maxine so that Max can pick up victories. His finisher is the overbearing, which is a bear hug, which he turns into an overhead belly to belly when his weakened his opponents. Love the show, lads. Keep up the good work, Matt.
I like the idea of a mum as a manager.
Bit like a Shelton Benjamin's mama. Remember that short-lived gimmick?
No.
That was like 2006 era. It's about one of the few things I like from 2006 WWE. So of course they dropped it very quickly.
Yep.
I think it only lasted like 2 or 3 weeks.
It's also something WCW have already done to crap gimmick effect.
Yes, with
I'm surprised
Bagwell.
There's not more overlap between all of these submissions and everything WCW did in the second half of the 90s.
Yeah, WCW from 99 through to 2001 is a litany of crap gimmicks. I mean, they had Gen Erection.
That's a solid pun. Like, you can't...
Solid?
Yeah, that's I think that's a success. I think that's critically applauded as a success.
Is critically
I like this. I do like the mother character.
Yeah.
But I just feel like her character isn't as fleshed out as it should be, and neither's his.
Mm-hmm.
It's like a good pairing, but I want a bit more, some deep crap
also,
to flow individually.
You would have to rely on fans to distract Maxine at the right time.
Mm-hmm.
So may not always play off into the finish.
Yeah, I much prefer the computer nerds.
Yeah, I'm going to go with the computer boys.
The computer boys it is.
And if you want to submit a question to the mailbag, all you have to do is become one of our awesome pledge hammers over on Patreon at any dollar amount and then leave your comments in the community section. Don't email it to me because they may get lost, or send me them on Twitter because they may get lost there as well. Leave them in the Patreon community section. It's much easier for me to find. But this one, speaking of which, comes from Ross Dimitri, which he actually sent back in July, but he sent it to me as an email called Crap Gimmicks. So I filed it under Crap Gimmicks and then I read it. It's not. It's a mailbag question. about crap gimmicks.
Okay. I can see where the mistake happened.
Yeah, he's even talking about the fact that he voted for SummerSlam 2000 for the Patreon podcast.
Thank you.
Yes,
thank
which you. We got to do. So where's this question? My idea was more of a question. Would you guys ever decide to draft for the crap gimmick wrestling? You could be general managers of each brand and have drafts and trades, not superstar shakeups. You could also have fantasy booking warfares and then do schedule and build up pay-per-views, and we will vote on who had the best crap. Lol, love the show very much, very consistent. I wish you and your lady partners well. By the way, he's a $5 pledge hammer. Bet you he's not anymore because we didn't read out his question.
I do like the idea, but you've got to factor in the interest step, because crap gimmicks is a niche part of the overall Wrestle Talk ship anyway.
I do get people sometimes saying to me on Twitter, it's like, why don't you do a whole show based around it? It's like, because no one would watch it. Absolutely.
That's
no
why
one
we
would.
Tuck it away in the middle of the Saturday show. Yeah. We like it.
Yeah.
It's like Wrestle Sketch. It's like, you know, everyone's like, I want more Wrestle Sketch, more Wrestle Sketch. And then 30,000 people watch it, which is loads of people, but it's not the 100 to 150, 200,000 that normal videos do. So it's just like the payoff of resources is
so much more work.
Yeah.
So
like,
much more
oh
work.
My God, imagine doing a full fantasy booking warfare for crap gimmicks.
Yeah.
But you'd have to build an entire promotion from the ground up with characters.
Yeah, we do not have enough time to do
that. It would be very fun, but it would only ever be a once-off if Tony Khan gave us loads of money.
Marcel Jura, who emails in a lot. Hi, Luke, Ollie, and Laurie. I know Tough Enough doesn't get love, and I know that the format is a bit cringeworthy, but I think it's pretty underappreciated for producing talent. Yeah, I know none of the winners really made an impact, but look at the talents that have come out of the show.
Okay.
Here is a list of some of the names I have on the radar. Kenny King, Christopher Nowinski, The Miz, John Morrison, Matt Morgan, Ryback, Matt Cross, Eva Leeds, Marty the Moth Martinez, Mandy Rose, Laurel Van Ness, Sonya Deville, and The Velveteen Dream. They may have bad luck when it comes to choosing a winner, but they produce lots of talent, or at least give them opportunities. Without them, they wouldn't be where they are right now. What do you guys think? Is Tough Enough underappreciated? Would you like to see a new season? Much love.
You have put down a lot of names there. Obviously, The Miz, Kenny King's very good, Velveteen Dream. But to my knowledge, out of all of those, only John Morrison won.
I don't even think he won.
Did he not even win?
My knowledge of, like, actually Tough Enough winners is very, very limited, because I never cared.
And it's like, a lot of those people, I think, were eliminated early
And also, a lot of them were already, like, Matt Cross was a name that was already established before he got into Tough Enough, so I'm not sure you can really have that one.
And there's been, what, like 6-7 series of Tough Enoughs, say 10 to 15 competitors each. Like, we're talking 100 people have come from it. And none of these are like super mega stars, I would argue.
No.
So that is a very, very low success rate. And I would definitely say, like, Velveteen Dream is a product of NXT.
Not Tough Enough.
And like, Ryback, wasn't he in the previous developmental? He was in FCW, right? So those people are products of the developmental systems.
Not Tough Enough. They're just
not Tough Enough.
Yeah.
And, like, Tough Enough as a show, as much as I love the idea of it, my God, Americans do not make reality competition series that I enjoy.
No, and also I just think that the reality competition format is dated now, and I don't think people are really interested in it. I don't even think, like, reality TV is as big as it once was. I think people are more interested now in, like,
Instagram.
Instagram. Or, like, big production type. Like, people tune into TV for event things like Game of Thrones or, like, really well-produced TV shows, as opposed to watching the Kardashians fart around or whatever it is they do on that show. I'm sure they still do. Like, they don't do as big numbers as they might have used to do. I think the interest in them is lower than it once was.
I was actually watching a really good documentary on this last night.
Really?
It's called The American Meme. It's a Netflix original movie.
Ooh.
It's really good. I put it on hoping for some just, hey, look at all these weird people who have become famous online. But it's actually a really interesting, intelligent investigation into how we got here with people becoming famous on Vine, or like the fat Jewish guy, like how he's made a big brand of himself. And they trace that back to Paris Hilton.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Paris Hilton and the simple life, and how Paris Hilton even has
before
threads.
Before that, it was Paris Hilton and the sex tape that led into things like that.
I think that's...
I thought the sex tape came before all of it.
So Paris Hilton was, like, doing
she
a lot of socialite stuff, and she was a model, and she was being photographed by something Chappelle, who, of course, had ties with Andy Warhol, who did the whole 15 minutes of fame thing in the first place. I can't remember the start of this point.
Excellent story, bro.
But the overall thing is, I think in our bubble, it seems like Game of Thrones and people watch telly for big event things, but actually the vast driver of all things is reality stuff like that.
Well, still. I take that all back then. But, it's reality competitions, though.
A third of all scripted content now comes from streaming services.
Yeah, makes sense. Mm. Yeah.
And because that's the big networks just rely on the much cheaper to produce reality and structured reality and reality competitions and game show formats.
But my other point I would make on that is that that's more WWE content I'll not have time to watch. So that's the last thing we need. That guy who wants to support. Hello, my SWAT brothers in arms and our SWAT daddies. If you had to choose one on-screen wrestling character from all time, including managers, commentators, authority figures, etc., to host your funeral, who would it be and why? Keep being awesome and have a Merry Christmas, even though I'm Jewish and don't celebrate Christmas.
Happy Hanukkah.
Happy Hanukkah.
Well, in a Jewish vein, Paul Heyman would be up there.
Yeah, I'd go with Paul Bearer.
Really? Yeah, that is good, isn't it? That's apt. There's something about... I would like a Bobby Heenan roast of me.
That would be great. Yeah.
I'd just like him to talk crap about me, not say a single nice thing.
Yeah.
Or, maybe do some slapstick.
Oh, man. Or like someone who just would have no idea who you were, but trying to pretend like they did. Like a Vince McMahon trying to pretend that he knew who you were.
Like one of those paid cameo gigs.
Yeah, yeah.
Jack Swagger with a fake Universal title.
Nice. Owen Morgan asks for the mailbag. Hello, Luke and Ollie. In the years you've been presenting for the WrestleTalk channel, your presenting styles have got better episode by episode. Who have you taken inspiration from, and has it just been a matter of confidence? I ask as I host a show and find myself naturally improving over time. Great work as always, guys. And that's from Owen the Blueprint Morgan. Can you figure out the wrestling reference?
Of course we can.
Of course we can.
It's Rob Van Dam.
Yeah, totally, yeah.
Matt Morgan.
RDV.
We know. I used to really like Matt Morgan. But then
you and Jim Cornette then?
Hey, I felt like he could have been great if he was protected and the weaker sides of him were not shown so readily.
He is like a tall, muscular dude. And you'd think, oh man, he's got it made on the main roster. And then he got there and Vince is like, stuttering gimmick.
Yeah.
Killed him instantly.
I think we've both gotten better. What do we take inspiration from?
This is more for you, because I think you were the one who really put your stamp on this channel. Like when I first started doing videos back in 2014 for this channel, I was just reading an auto cue as best as I possibly could. Because that was the time before we did jump cuts and stuff. So you had to get the auto cue done in one take. Otherwise, you had to just start again from the top, and it was a bloody nightmare.
Which is why I did the jump cuts.
Yeah, exactly. It's much easier this way. And then, essentially, when I came here, I did my own... I read it like myself, but everyone said I was boring. So I was like, well, I better do it like Ollie does then. And then everyone just said, you're just too much like Ollie. And I think now I'm starting to find more of my own feet again.
Yeah, I agree.
Laurie's great. Laurie is my favourite presenter on this channel.
What?
Yeah, he is. I love his style.
Yeah. Well, he was a professional trained host beforehand.
Yeah.
We've just figured it out on the way.
Yeah.
Well, it was mainly if you host your own stuff, it was me editing myself. Because it was only me. I would film, I would write, I would film, and then I would edit it twice a day, you know, two episodes a day for about a year. No, longer than that, about 2 years. And when you have to watch yourself back, you're like, oh, God, your voice sounds stupid. There's, like, no passion. So I was like, okay, maybe I'll just start speaking a bit louder. And speaking a bit louder became yelling. And then it eventually became, hello, world, run the news! I'm all in Amos! And I was like, because when I was talking very loudly, I was like, well, that emphasizes the nasal qualities of my voice. So I'll put a growl in. And I was growling. And I watched back for the TLC episode last year.
Mm.
I watched back a bit of that. And I was like, yeah, I'm growling so much. I'm purring my way through this. I think I've reined that back in a bit.
Let's have one last question if we can from Craig Roberts. Ollie, Luke and Laurie, what do you guys think of the longevity of the Wrestling Observer newsletter when it comes to things wrestling from viewing figures and gate receipts? I ask as a regular listener to 83 Weeks and Something to Wrestle, and I get the feeling that Eric and Bruce don't really rate Meltzer and his facts, so I just wanted your opinion. Keep up the fabulous work. Yeah, there's a reason why Eric and Bruce don't rate Dave Meltzer is because he's right. And he reports facts, and it's for facts that they don't want to hear. So they just... Their whole job, 83 Weeks and Something's Wrestled, exists so they can discredit Dave Meltzer. That's the only reason those shows exist.
So Eric Bischoff and Bruce Pritchard... Bruce Pritchard's a bit different, but they are wrestling promoters.
Yes.
And the way... wrestling is a carny business. Thankfully, it's getting away from that a bit more. But one of the things they do... I mean, football games do it and gigs do it. You inflate the attendance. You give away a lot more free tickets... So it looks like there's more people there. And you say, ah, but the attendance was this much. But how much is paid? So if you have some guy in the 90s, way but like two decades before this was a more mainstream thing through YouTube with channels like Az talking about all the great, amazing investigative work that Meltzer's been doing forever. Like, wrestling was a very closed shop back then. And here's some annoying guy going, actually, this was the real number. Giving that sensitive business information that they were trying to not let out.
Yeah.
And they put that out there.
Yeah, absolutely.
So that, like, they don't... I think they bought into their own lie as well.
Oh, 100%. And Eric Bischoff, like, I've only listened to one episode of 83 Weeks, but it is god-awful. It is a terrible podcast. Because it's just Eric Bischoff going, like, I was brilliant. I was so good at what I did. Everything I did in WCW was brilliant. It's like, mate, it went out of business.
Yeah.
Like, they would make mistakes, and you just won't admit to any mistakes. And when I was on Straight to Hell with Ross over on Cultaholic, one of the things I wanted to put to bed was Conrad bringing up Dave Meltzer on those sorts of shows, because it's just infuriating to listen to. Because Bruce will then go, like, Conrad will read a statement, and then Bruce will go, yeah, that's right. But that's wrong. Dave Meltzer makes up 100% of everything that he writes in the newsletter. I was like, well, clearly he doesn't, because he just confirmed a lot of that. And you're right, and it is things like, yeah, we sold out, we gave away, well, no, we had, you know, 100,000 people there. And it's like, yeah, but the real number's 83,000, which is a really good number. It's like, oh, Dave Meltzer just makes that up. I was like, but the fact is there. Like, that's a genuine, undisputable fact.
Well, that's all we've got time for today.
I'd also say as well that he's been doing this for 40 years. Like, I feel like I'm just being on the Dave Meltzer bandwagon. But to answer your question of the longevity, Dave's been doing this for 40 years. And by all accounts, his subscriber numbers are better now than they have ever been, including the boom period of the Attitude Era. So, if anything, he's going to go for another 40.
Yeah, well, that's what happens when you make up fake news, though.
Do you want to explain why you're going to be reading Poetry Corner submissions?
So tonight, Friday, of course, you're listening to this on Saturday, I am going to do my first ever poetry reading.
Mm-hmm.
Sounds a lot wankier when said out loud.
Oh, yeah.
As I'm sure the poems will too. I've got two poems to read. One is brutally depressing. And the other one is... I mean, should I tell you what it is?
Please do.
It's going to be difficult. It's going to be difficult to do on a family-friendly podcast.
Uh-oh. And we're going to have to put an E.
No, but that's too much work. So
it's a button press, but...
But every other word will be it. So let me...
You need to press it once. I'm not censoring it.
Oh, what do you mean?
Well, you know, like when there's a podcast that's got sweary stuff on it, there's a little E next to the podcast to let people know that it's an explicit thing.
Wow.
So you just tick a button and it says this is an explicit podcast.
I won't say the... Oh, man, some of these are horrible.
Is this one you've written yourself?
Okay, put the explicit E. Everyone, it's right at the end of the podcast now. This is your explicit warning, okay? Okay.
I feel nervous about this.
Well, I'm worried. So this is a comedy bit. So turn away now. If you've got kids in the room, either cover their ears or turn this off and listen to it later.
Earmuffs.
And I'm hoping this is funny. Because this isn't really a poem. And you're the...
It's a roast.
Yeah, and I thought this up as like, oh, this is quite a funny comedy stand-up bit. Within the confines of a poetry thing. And if I'm going to do the super serious one, like in the first half, I can get back up in the second half and go, hey, I've had a few now. Let's cheer it up.
Is this also the speech you're preparing for before you do the...
No. Okay, so just pretend you're in the room. I'm going to do the whole thing now, the whole spiel. You've got to imagine as well that I've got paper. So I'm reading this off some paper.
Okay. I thought Sharon's poetry in the first act was bloody tremendous.
Oliver's up.
Okay. Actually, I thought his first one was a bit rubbish, to be honest. It's a bit depressing. I hope his second one's better.
Hello, thank you. You might remember me from the first half.
Can you pass that martini?
But there's going to be no martinis there. But thank you all for listening to mine in the first half. And now I've got another poem. And it's kind of in thanks to Czar. who's here tonight. Everyone say thank you to Zar.
Thanks, Zar.
He was our poetry teacher for a lot of us here over the last 5 weeks and earlier on in the year too. And one of the concepts he introduced to us was the idea of a list poem, which is just a simple framework to write a poem on, where you like list all the places you've been, or you list the back ingredients of some cereal, or you list all the people that have passed away in your life, and the reasons why. It's kind of a version. It's a way to structure a poem that's easy for beginners. So I've written two. Now here's my first one. It's called My Favorite Things About You. Catching your slutty stepsister in the shower. Big tits Daphne Rosen gets anal drilling. Climaxing in her face. Beautiful facials compilation. Brother catches stepsister masturbating, then gives her a cream pie. Horny Tinder slut gets face fucked and calls me daddy and calls me daddy. Why fucked by gang of BBCs in front of hubby? Anal sex. She can't stop draining my balls. All caps. Squirt paradise. Warm jizz on my big tits. Fucking whacked out crack whore smoking blowjob. So now on for my second poem. That I'm going to shuffle some notes here. And I say, and now for my...
Wipe the sweat from your brow as well. What if that dies?
Wait. Oh, okay. And this is the payoff. And now for my second poem. Move the sheets around. The front page of Pornhub.com on Sunday the 9th of December 2018. Ah, damn it. Do you not get it?
So you were meant to read that bit first?
That was the joke. Like, the poem I just read... Mm-hmm. Was the front page of Pornhub.com on Sunday the 9th of December.
Yeah.
But I accidentally screwed up the titles, so it just sounds like My Favorite Things About You.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I see now. Okay.
What, do you not think that's good?
No, it is. Once you explain it, it's much better.
I'm not going to explain it.
Here's the deal. I forgot the title of the poem.
Okay.
So that might be why I was confused. I got so sidetracked by... sort of laughing and giggling at the titles, and sort of because I figured what you were doing. I forgot what you had called the poem. So then the punchline didn't really work for me.
Yes.
Because it's hard if you forget the start of a joke, then the punchline doesn't really work as well.
You're saying the setup is so funny. It's the aristocrats. Yeah. Yeah, so sorry for being so coarse, everyone.
It was very coarse. No, these words. We did on Patreon, you tell me off if I say the F word, and you've got to censor it out.
I know. Well,
here we are on the free feed.
This is Ollie
Lund. Families listen to this.
I just gave them such a big warning. Remember to put the E on.
Is that another one of your titles?
Yeah. Yeah, so that's... It's not strict. A bit of poetic license was had.
Yeah.
It was the first 5 pages and I just picked the best ones. I've got some more that I didn't use. I've got loads that I didn't use.
Remember that scene from Clerks where he's reading out all the porn titles in front of the mother and kids?
Mm.
When he's also after...
In
the first movie, yeah.
I don't, actually.
Where he's after, like, Slappy Hero Cop or something.
I've got... Oh, yeah, I do. In the video rental store. At home, happy ending, come volcano. That just missed out.
Well, that's good. I think that's funnier than some of them.
Eyes are blue, farts on Amandina. Yeah, just yeah. So do you think that's a good idea? Because this is something.
Okay, what it is, it's a risky idea.
Yeah,
yeah. But with that said, so anecdotal time. At my wedding, my brother was our MC, and he ran a joke by me the Friday before my wedding because he was introducing people doing their speeches, and he wanted to run a joke by me because he was unsure about how it would go down in the room, and. When he was introducing Kate's maid of honor, my wife, who was her sister, he was going to introduce her as, so our next speaker is someone I've been sharing a bed with for the past year, but I've only just met her today. The joke of that is that they have both slept in our spare room just on various different nights. And it took me a long time to get it. I looked at him before and I was like, I really don't get the joke. And then he explained it to me. I was like, oh, actually, that's quite clever. That's quite funny. And I did so. I was like, I don't know how it's going to go down in the room, but, you know, feel free to, if you're feeling fruity, give it a go. And I think he'd add a couple of bevvies. So he did it. It went down like an absolute, everyone loved it. And it was one of the most memorable moments of the speeches. And everyone was like, oh, your brother's so funny. That joke is real. My father-in-law, to this day, he goes like, it's so funny. I think it still makes me laugh because it's such a funny joke. And my sister-in-law's boyfriend, who was sat like at the same table, was almost
the great
like,
Mickey.
Great Mickey was sat like the table opposite. He was like, I thought I was going to have to stand up and say something. I thought he was like announcing to the whole world. And he goes, until I got the joke. And actually, it's really funny.
Mickey's so, always ready for a fight.
So maybe it will go down really well. I'm just erring on the side of caution. And that's a really terrible thing for me to do.
So I've only read it to Anna so far.
How did she react?
Well, she laughed a lot during the titles.
It's funny to read the titles. Yeah. Especially because you're reading it in such a serious manner. So that's very funny.
I always corpse at Squirt Paradise. It's the double... It's Squirt Paradise into warm jizz on my big tits that I can't handle.
Yeah, it's good. Yeah.
Oh, well, we haven't got any time to read other people's poems now.
Well, that's what we're on this for.
I think I'll see how drunk I get.
Do this one because it's short.
Okay.
So this one comes in from Jared Connorsar. I'll let you read out the email.
Sure. Okay, this is called Moxley by Lunatic Fringe. I've been told to slow down. So I'm going to try and read this at a slowed down pace.
Okay, good practice.
Leering from behind, unhinged in action, never betraying, always loyal, time after time, intercepting attacks, cementing the brotherhood. Fratricide, relatives no longer imposing their will, never exalting their brother, Gotham's reckoning enters this universe. How fast was that? Because in my head...
You sped up. Getting towards the end, you definitely sped up.
I get excited.
Yeah.
It's a lovely poem, though, Connister.
It very was,
yeah. Very foreboding sense of tone.
Indeed. Unfortunately, we did have other emails in from Daniel Bellinger and Connor Going, but they're slightly too long, and Ollie overran with his filthy,
I just
filthy
wanted to read out.
Well,
maybe that could be a new segment.
Ollie reads out
Pornhub titles. Honestly, they're so horrid.
Oh, God, they're disgusting at times.
I remember back in our day, folks, if you're a younger person, all pornos had hilariously titled pun names. Mm-hmm. Not anymore, because it's all based around SEO. Yeah. So, like, something that's, you know, MILF, stepsister, it's just going to have those words
in. I'd say I disagree, because I remember, like, back in the early 2000s, when you would walk into, like, a video rental shop or a video adult store... They were very much just like matter-of-fact titles. It would just be Big Tits, Volume 4.
But they made sense.
Yes, they were
none
like,
of those meant made any sense.
They were all just like Ronsil porno titles. They do exactly what they say on the tin. It's just like, come guzzling jizz sluts.
Nice.
Volume 3. Volume 36.
It's always, you never see number one. It's always, it's always well up into the 30s, this volume.
It's because they release them like one a week.
It's effectively what Marvel have copied. And it's also what we as WrestleTalk have copied SEO title-wise.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, I was trying to name something the other day. We were going to call a WrestleRamble just Asuka Charlotte Becky Lynch WWE TLC. And you said, that doesn't make any... That's just words.
Words.
I was like, yeah, but it'll rate really well with SEO.
And in all credit to you, the title I suggested probably didn't do as well as just your here are three names. And a pay-per-view.
You recognize these names. Click them.
Click the video now. Well, that is all we've got time for on this episode. Thank you so much for listening. And thank you, Ollie, and the Russell Tyke Andy, for your lovely birthday presents. It's very, very thoughtful of you. I actually believe that Andy has told me that I've now got two copies of this because he ordered two of them.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Only Andy would do that. So thank you very much, and thank you for listening. We will see you on Monday for the TLC review. Enjoy TLC. It's going to be a long one, but we'll see you then. Take care. I love you. Goodbye.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.